lunch break. Those of you that have come and you've got a hungry stomach, I encourage you to look at some of the different options that Kathy had available as far as ordering or something, and kind of work together. You know, this is an example. The government can't do everything, so you guys are going to have to, if you're hungry, you got to feed yourself and figure out how to do it. So,
are you going to be here or somewhere
else? You're going to be here. The break will be, we'll have about a 40-minute break. How you spend it is up to you. I'll let you guys decide. And so if you need to take, I'm going to give you just a minute to think about what your food desires are, and if you need to organize, do that real quickly. Okay, if you haven't done it, I don't hear any action, so we're going to move on. All right, I thought it'd be good just to make sure that we haven't had anybody enter the room since we did initial introduction. So, Nancy, could you run around and make sure we introduce anybody that hasn't been here? I see one new face.
I'm Kat Carroll, the business manager for the commission, and I joined late.
You have to have the microphone. We'll get it on record.
Very good.
Kat Carroll, business manager for the commission.
Anybody else new? Okay. Well, very good.
What city are you in?
Lincoln.
Thank you.
All right. Now, this is the public's first opportunity for public comment. Does anybody from the public want to be heard? If you do, shout out your name and we'll get you on the list. Anybody from the public?
Oh, I'm going to say something.
Say okay, I got Jim's name. Does anybody else want to say anything? All right, well, after Jim's done talking, if that inspires something. We want to give you an opportunity. This is your opportunity to comment, ask questions. So, all right. Well, hearing no other, Jim, what would you like to comment? And here's the microphone.
Well, this ain't gonna take very long.
Mark, I'll have a question too when he's done.
Okay, sure. I'll put Jim. Yeah, I forgot to say Scott's
welcome. All right, thanks. All right, I would like to hear from each of the board members. Related to your position on the board and serving the blind, what have you been up to the last quarter?
All right,
you want to start, Becky?
I don't want to start.
Yeah.
You got the mic?
Did you just say
that?
No.
Who wants to start?
Becky? I don't care who.
Okay, this is Mike Hansen. Jim, so as you've heard, in November, Mark and I met with the senior leadership and to start some discussions, get some explanations, start to dive into what's going on with the financial status of the commission. Since then, been working with Kat Carroll some to improve the tools that we as a board have to track those. Outside of my board responsibilities, I've been working as a mentor for the NCBBI mentoring program. I actually have three mentees, so it's a bit of a job. I will say to our transition coordinator person, it is a bit overwhelming to have three mentees. We're trying to stay in touch with them. I spent some time with one of them up in Omaha in between Christmas and New Year's. We had a good time, spent some time at the library, one of the libraries in Omaha, working on a project together. And actually we went down to the Deuce space in Omaha and took a computer class together. Yep. So that was a good time, some good quality time together. Beyond that, working with the Federation and starting to help plan a little bit our next mentoring activity that we're going to be having in March, or early April, excuse me. We're going to be meeting on UNL's campus, doing some job coaching, but working on job skills and so on, and so helping to plan that. and make the, since I work there at the university, helping to walk around and make the contacts and bring parts of that together.
Okay. Yeah, Robert here. So I, you know, continue to pass on some things that I get just through email and just some of my affiliation with different groups within the National Federation of the Blind and the ACB. So, you know, some technical information I passed on, some job opportunities I passed on to staff. I did get to go to the Omaha's Christmas potluck. That was great. So it's nice just interacting with staff. I've got, of course, to talk with other staff now and then on the phone or whatever. So I've had some interaction with just so far people, which is great. Then it's been pretty quiet otherwise, but there was one other thing I was going to mention. Let's see. Thank you. Yes. All right. Through the friends of the commission. The senior division as well. We've been talking about helping again with some of the testimony that's going to be taking place in March for money for working with seniors. So that's big. And then so that's going to be someone from the senior division plus someone from the Friends, that board. But we're going to try to, also the Friends of the Commission or are interested more than just with the seniors, with just everything that the Commission does. So we're going to be having a small little work group to get together. Now we're going to see if, in fact, we'll have to talk with Carol, because I talked with Carlos earlier this past week. You know, if there are any kinds of services that maybe we could help with, with where we could maybe seek out some grants, because we do have a couple of things going, well, at least one thing going with the Friends, and that's where we are willing to pay a blind person to be a trainer for, or not even a sighted person that has the skills to work with blind seniors. So we have a program that we had in place for over a year, and we still have money to help a senior to learn some non-visual access technology for phones and/or computers. So we need to push that some more, maybe get that out to the counselors some more, because now some of them might have less time to do some of the things with seniors that than before. So that there's that, again, that's the Friends things and the senior things, and just what we can still do and maybe expand what we're doing. So that's what I've been involved in. So there's more to come.
One thing I forgot, and I only bring it up because it was a real privilege. In December, when the training center had their graduation of three of their students, one of them was one of my three mentees. And so I got to come down, and that was the first time I'd ever been to a center graduation. And something normally, just by rules, we normally don't attend. People can't. Can't have just a huge influx of people there anymore. So it was a privilege to get an invite from my mentee to come and be there to see that, and it was a neat experience.
Can we have Chad next? Chad, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's see. Where did I get
you? Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Okay. All right, sounds good. As far as commissioner-wise, I guess been busy reading emails, keeping up on that, trying to make sense of all that stuff, and then as far as personal life, just still a teacher, a para for fifth grade blind student, going to work every day doing that. I have a foreign exchange student this year from Austria, and the rest of us, just life like anybody else has, staying busy.
Thank you. I have a student who is in the mentor program, so that's, I always check up on her with that. I also am planning on going to the transition conference in a couple weeks in Kearney, and very helpfully I receive emails from Jan, and I share that information with my fellow TDIs, so make sure that they have that information as well.
Okay, well, this is Mark. I'll start off with a couple of fun things. last week I took a bus across Nebraska with about 23 blind people and went to Deadwood, South Dakota for Ski for Light, and unfortunately I wasn't able to defend my first place cross or snowshoeing trophy, but I did win the slot tournament, so that was fun. That was a great time. This is my fourth time I've done that. Also, on more of a leisurely note, I'm the president of the Omaha Association of Blind, and we did a couple of unique audio description outings. We went to see the Christmas Carol that was audio described, a live event. Then we also went and saw It's a Wonderful Life that was audio described. So they were both fun. I serve as ACB state president, and we're starting to work on our annual state convention that will be on Saturday, April 27th. It's going to be a one-day conference in Omaha. I too, like Mike, I'm involved in the mentoring program. After our last board meeting, I was able to go participate in Winterfest and got to see kind of a really exciting group of young people that I just was assigned to mentees myself, and I'm looking forward to getting to know these young individuals, and probably will learn more than I teach or offer. But that's a great program. I wish something like that would have been available, you know, when I was young and struggling. And so, I was talking to Shane about this, and one of the things he said is, you know, don't feel like you got to be a guy with all the answers. You know, it's about just investing the time and care with these mentees. So I hope to follow that advice. I like to follow the vending program. I was able to listen to the last vending meeting that they had. I think it was here in Lincoln. I listened by phone. What else do I got? And then I guess, you know, just, you know, since the last meeting, a lot of things have happened. A lot of email correspondences. I know everybody on the board has been trying to digest and ask questions about, you know, what's going on with the budget. And I've talked to Carlos a number of times on the phone. He's been just very, very open, honest, and I really appreciate that. I've been feeling the agony just like he and the leadership has. It's hard when you have layoffs. You know, we're talking about people, and these are all valuable people. And so I think that's it. One last one. The Vision Resource Coalition, Omaha's got a neat thing going on where they have all quarterly meetings of different entities that are involved in some way or another with blind services and support. And I know I appreciate the commissions on there, and just a number of different entities. NFB's have participated, ACB, Omaha Association of Blind, and it's just been great idea and a great thing to do to share information and do what we can to make life a little bit better for people that are blind. So that's about it, Jim. Did that answer your questions?
Yep, good job.
All right. Any other questions before we move back on to Carlos?
Chad had one.
Oh, Chad. Yeah, I'm sorry, Chad. Go ahead, buddy.
Schultz is, the general vocab, voc rehab agency in Nebraska. He is the immediate past executive director of that agency. And so as far as, you know, knowing what it's like out in the real world, how we're being affected by these things, he has firsthand experience with that. And then from a Nebraska standpoint, we have a relationship with him already, being that he is, you know, was the director of our sister agency here in Nebraska.
So then, go ahead, Robert. Chad, one other thing, and Carlos was present here, and I'm sure he's helping with this, that is our friends meeting just this past Tuesday. You know, one of our members is one of the former directors of the commission here, Dr. Nyman. So he got right on to, you know, hey, we got to talk to Mark. So he's going to be contacting Mark. And so when you and Dr. Nyman talk to someone, they really know they've been talked to, by the end of their conversation. So he's going to be putting in his two cents there pretty quick as well.
Jim, Dan, did you want to make a comment? Hold on, we'll get you a microphone.
Thank you. I actually have a question and then I have a comment. Carlos, you talked about the meeting on March 4th, I think it's with the legislature, where we're going to be requesting $540,000 for OIB, is that correct?
Correct.
March 7th. And then you also, I think I heard you say that you're hoping to be able to rehire a person or two after we get that money, is that correct?
I said something like that. It's March 7th, $540,000. If we get the funds, the request is for around 4 to 6 staff members. I need to go back to that. But depending how much we get, we will have to reassign some OIB funds into that. But I think we could hire or rehire maybe two people. But the idea is to move that money into the current staff as well.
Thank you. Nancy, I did have a comment also. So I'm one of the frontline staff, and I just would like to make a comment about what's gone on this week, and I hope I can do it without tears. I've always been very honored to work for the commission. I've worked here for 29 years. Mm. We're going through major, major issues, and a lot of what we're up against is we don't know how we're going to be doing what we should be doing, because we're not going to have a physical office. And so we're going to try to do the best we can. And I understand that it's been a very hard thing from the administration that you've had to do. But we want to be sure that we can continue to provide the best services despite the changes. But know that it's very difficult for us. We are grieving the loss of our coworkers.
Carlos, you want to comment on that?
Well, I think in general, I can echo the grief, the pain, and the person who has to make the final decision. That was very, very tough. I tell folks I usually don't show my emotions. Some folks tell me that I look like a poker face, but I'm a human, I do have emotions, and that's why I'm in this job, and it was very hard. So I'm with you there. I mentioned earlier that this is going to make us stronger. We will work together. This is going to make us be innovative. We are not the first agency that has to close offices. And I think Iowa closed all their offices like 10 years ago. Some folks can say, but they are not providing the good services they use. So we need to learn from that and make sure that we find ways that we still to provide the best services we can with what we have. And that's when we are going to be meeting with each office. I will be going to each office as long as we have the offices. And if not, we will meet in a place where we can have a room and talk and strategize, but we will move forward, okay? I keep my promise that I will do my best, so will supervisors, to support online staff, because this is hard for everyone. But I think, I know you're taking your time coming from all the way from Kearney. I do value that a lot. Folks here taking part of their Saturday, their weekend, we do value that a lot. And again, I cannot express how hard this was for all of us. And we are going to do our best, provide the best support we can do, okay?
So, one last thing, Robert. So,
and I think this goes without saying, but we really should say it. And you know, from the chair here, with my little hat on, friends of the commission, and also of the senior division of the AFB, and I'll let anybody else want to take the turn. But we recognize, you know, the great service that we've had, you know, for decades here in this state, and we know we're losing some good people. We also know we've got great people that are staying here. And so we're going to be offering not only our condolences for, again, the loss, but, you know, just, you know, the thank you and our continuing support. So,
your turn.
All right, well, Mike, I'll let you go.
Where are they losing the office from?
I'll let Carlos answer that in just a minute. Because there's multiple shakings up of office space. The other comment that I'd like to make is to echo everything everybody's saying about, you know, the appreciation that we have for the efforts of our staff. I know I was telling somebody over the break during the Christmas break, you know, the Board of Commissioners knew what was going to happen. We didn't know who was going to be affected, and it was painful knowing that something was going to happen to some of our, you know, to our colleagues and friends. But to be the members of the senior leadership team that had to decide which positions, I can't imagine having that pressure and that responsibility, and sympathy for Carlos and others on the senior leadership team for having to do that. But I appreciate the logic behind it, and sympathize with you for having to make those types of tough decisions. That being said, I want to say to all of our staff that's with us, please don't be discouraged. I know it's a time of grief, it's a time of sorrow, but it is something that, like Carlos said, that we're gonna overcome. It's gonna make us stronger as an organization, and I would hope that if anybody is discouraged to the point that they may be considering other options, that they come and talk to their supervisors and to senior leadership before making that type of a life change. Everybody is valued, everybody's important, and we would hate to see any other voluntary losses.
And having worked in corporate America, I've been unfortunate to have gone through this before myself. And one thing I would urge is those people that have been affected, they're still part of the NCBBI Blind Community family. They're going to need friends. They're going to need. We're just not workers. Yeah, we're a family. And you know, talk to them. Listen to them. They don't have the plague. They just. It was just a business decision based on the circumstances. So I haven't been through that. Sometimes that's a very lonely feeling, and I encourage you to talk to them, listen, and and the other thing I've learned through going through this is, you know, today's worth two tomorrows, you know. Do the best you can today. You can't control a lot what's going to happen tomorrow anyway, so, you know, we got a job to do. I say we, you guys, staff does the work, but there's a job that needs to be done, and somehow you'll get through it, and you're going to learn some things that, you know, anytime there's change, there's opportunities. So I can understand the reservations about they not having an office, and I encourage you to be innovative, you know. Talk to the people, use it as an opportunity to look at things in a different way. But, you know, just, I really, this has been tough for me too. I know it's been tough for everybody. So, any other public comment before we move on? Kendall, did you have a question about, you wanted to know about which offices?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we're talking about the Scott's Bluff office, and Kat will correct me about the dates, but some of those offices are state buildings, and we have to give them like 365 days at advance notice. We give the notices to all of them. But Scotts Bluff office, North Platte office, Kearney office, and Norfolk office.
Whoa.
I think out of those four offices, two of them are private, is that right, Kat?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a part of our request for the unicameral, the $540,000, a part of that expense is also to cover some office expense. Now, again, we cannot count our eggs before getting the money, but I will do my best, and so will you, I trust, to contact your legislators and bring folks to testify, because that will be the only way we can get the funds. Okay?
I have one more, Mark.
Okay, well, if it's quick.
It is. And we can...
Carlos, are you, and I know you can't obviously, you know, disclose personnel matters, and I get that. Are you able to disclose how you arrived at the decision to relieve the staff that are being relieved of their duties and the positions they held?
The answer is no, Jim.
I didn't think so.
But in general, I listened to everyone, and after that I made my decision based on what I listened to folks. Okay?
Okay.
But it's mainly not because I don't want to share anything, but it's respect to the folks we
right.
do value, and we appreciate all the job.
I can accept that.
Thank you. Good answer.
So just to make a quick comment about the office closures, I know our staff understands this, but for the public, while the physical office spaces may be closing, the staff will still be in those areas. So that's the part that's a struggle, and we're trying to work out how that's going to be facilitated. But we will still have staff out in the field in those areas. It might be an office from home thing. It might be office shared. I don't know how that's going to work yet. That's what's trying to be figured out. But the physical offices that we have in those areas is what we're relinquishing. But we'll still have staff out around the state.
How many clients are affected by this?
We'll talk a little bit about the order.
I know you're getting. You're going to be covering it other ways, but. How many individual clients?
Well, I don't think the office the number of office locations in itself will affect client services. They're going to have to do things differently, but just because we don't have a physical office, should mean that that in itself would affect client services. Would you agree with that, Carlos?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Carlos, I'm going to let you continue with your reports. I know we've got you on there, the report from the executive director, and then the budget and biennium update, and also we're going to do order selection. We also have lunchtime coming up, so if I let you maybe talk from, it's about 10:43 to say 5 after 12, we'll take a lunch break and then get back at it. Is that all right? So people can kind of plan for their meals and things. So I'll let you, if you can take the next 20 minutes and we'll see where it takes us, okay?
So lunch is like, what
did
I say,
12:05? Yeah, actually, I'm done with my report, Mr. Chair, but Carol is here if we want to talk more about details on budgets. We will talk a lot about that. Maybe we can start jumping into the focus of order observation.
Okay.
Is that okay?
This is a kind of a different meeting. I want you to kind of be able to hear what you think we need to hear.
Yeah, I think that's in general what we would like to do, because order of selection has to do with the budget. It ties into that. The last question was how many clients will be affected, closing offices. Not many, because again, folks will still be working in those areas. But order of selection is a different monster.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we started that one.
Right. So with that, in order to get into order of selection, we need to justify that we don't have enough funds to provide services to clients, but also that we are implementing policies to make sure that we are only spending funds for services that are reasonable and necessary. And necessary is a big thing there. Some of those items are, we believe, for instance, to send people to consumer conventions and pay for it. Is that necessary under the budget circumstances? It's not. So we are not sending either staff or clients to consumer conventions because we don't have the funds. If somebody wants to go to study somewhere else and the tuition is much higher, if that's not being offered in Nebraska, we are not going to pay out-of-state tuition or in-state tuition. Somebody goes across to another country to get some credits, well, that's in his own or her own,